The question today is, what does the Bible say about homosexuality? This is part two of this question. We've tried to deal with this very touchy subject as we begin to look at it in the last broadcast. And we know it's mentioned first in the Old Testament and Noah's day, but not with clarity. But in the day of Lot's day in the city of Sodom, it's mentioned there very plainly. And they wanted to know the men. And then God said in His Word, and that word know means to have intimate relations with. And God said in Romans chapter 1, verse number 26 and 27, for that God gave up those homosexuals, in other words, when women turned to women, which was against nature. Let me just read that again, and because we need the repetition on this. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And so therefore, God spoke very plainly about the fact there that He gave them up. He turned them over. And man's changing and says it's okay today. Hollywood says it's okay. Abby says it's okay. Ann Lander says it's okay. Or dear Annie, I guess you would call them today. But anyway, there it's not okay. It's not okay. God said He gave them up to vile affections, to practice those things that's against nature, against God's Word, against God's truth. And we read to you last time at 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And then he lists some of the unrighteous. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Means they're not going to be saved. We said the word effeminate is referring to homosexuality. You say, well, how do you get that? Well, the word effeminate, it means the softness, the delicacy, the weakness in men which are characteristic of the female sex. The New Dictionary, Webster's Dictionary, said that effeminate means having qualities or characteristics more often associated with women than men. It means unmanly. Men are changing with the times, but God's not changing. He's standing where He's always stand about what about homosexuality here. As He said, they're not going to even be saved. They're not going to inherit. Now, we're thinking about this word effeminate. In Luke chapter 7, verse number 25, Jesus speaks about John the Baptist, who people went out to see. And they said, but what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's courts. John the Baptist wasn't in king's courts, but he wasn't clothed in soft raiment. The word soft is the word for effeminate. You see, John the Baptist had on manly clothes. He was not effeminate. Now, you ought not to let your boys wear effeminate things. And you ought not let your girls wear manly things. It might just be the start of causing them to choose to be a homosexual, which is against nature and against the Bible. Now, in the Old Testament time, the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse number 17, He said, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse number 24, we find this, and He says, and there were also sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. In other words, the sodomites were classified as abomination. And the word abomination means disgusting. And you know who said that? God said that. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse number 11 and 12, we find something about Asa. It said, and Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. What did he do right? Verse 12 said he took away the sodomites out of the land and removed all idols that his fathers had made. And now, took away means implies he had them killed. Now, also Jehoshaphat, 1 Kings chapter 22, verse number 46, says, and a remnant of the sodomites which remained in the days of his father, he took out of the land. In other words, there's two kings mentioned. They took them out, which means they had them killed, taken out of the land. Also, we find the Bible's very clear. Well, let me see. Here's Josiah talks in 2 Kings 23, verse 7. He break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. He tore up the houses. And it's clear, also the Bible's clear in Leviticus 18, verse 22 and 29. He said, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." Womankind, that's natural use. God said the marriage bed's undefiled, but whoremongers he will judge. Leviticus 18:29, "For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people." Cut off. That doesn't sound like a good thing to me, and that's what God said in His Word would happen to them. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 13, He said, "If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." In other words, God said they're going to put to death, be put to death, need to be. You say, "But preacher, we're not under law." That's the law. We're not under law. We're under grace. I want to tell you, you read 1 Timothy, and we'll deal with this more in a question soon about is the law of God done away with. No, it's not been done away with. I'll just tell you, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, it's for the unrighteous. And that unrighteous are those who commit abominations. And they're still under law. And God said they need to be put to death in the Old Testament. I know we're under grace. I know we don't go around putting people, stoning people to death today in that sense. But God said that in His Word. Now, I don't imagine the people in those days came out of the closet and marched down the streets and their gay affair, so-called, that they have in those days. The Bible says in Revelation 21:27, listen, they're not going to enter in. He said, "And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." In other words, he said, those who worketh abomination and homosexuality, we've already shown you, is an abomination, disgusting in the sight of God. And he said, they're not going to enter in to the new heaven, is what he's talking about. And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9 and 10, we've already read, we said they will not inherit the kingdom of God. That means they're not going to be in the kingdom. That doesn't mean they're going to not inherit in the kingdom. It means they're not going. They're not saved. And those who practice this lifestyle has never been saved. Now, what do you need to do with them today? Well, it's sure one thing if you've got somebody claiming to be in a Baptist church today, and I'll use them because I am a Baptist. But if they claim to be a homosexual, a member of the church, if they're not willing to get right with God and need to be saved is what they need to be done. They need to be churched so that they can be saved or will be saved before it's too late. In other words, that's what we need to do with them. As far as church members are concerned, they're not to be a member of the church. Come to church, yes. Hear the preaching of the Word, yes. But not to be a part of the church because they're not saved. That man who practices that has never been saved. God's give them up to reprobate minds, vile affection, and uncleanness. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." That means to expose them, to lay blame on them. In other words, we don't have anything in common with them in that sense. Now you say, "Preacher, is there any hope for them?" Well, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10 said they'll not inherit. But verse 11 says of 1 Corinthians 6, "And such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." In other words, some of those, before they were saved, were in that type lifestyle. Some of them were effeminate. And he said, "But you're saved now." And by the way, this verse actually is an examination verse because some of them were still there and claiming to be members of the church at Corinth. And he said, some of you were there. Some of you are still there. But he's saying there's hope for you, and there is hope for you today. But the hope's not by softening the message and trying to say, "Well, just come on as you are. Live your lifestyle. You'll be okay." Listen, you've got to repent to be saved. And when you repent of sin, that means you leave it behind. And you'll leave that homosexual lifestyle behind if you ever get saved. But we need to tell it like it is. Isaiah 58:1, he said, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sin." We don't give you hope by softening the message. Love tells you the truth. If there's a rattlesnake den outside your door and I came to your house and I knew that rattlesnake den was out there and I didn't tell you about that rattlesnake den being there and I let you walk out that door and be bit by that rattlesnake and die prematurely, I'd be a sorry lot. I'd be a sorry devil not to do that. And I'd be a sorry devil if I won't proclaim to you the truth when God lays it on our heart about this thing of homosexuality. You see, we don't need to soften the message, for the hope comes by preaching the gospel, by telling it like it is, and allowing the Holy Spirit time to work His complete work of conviction and godly sorrow in the area of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And all the while, we need to separate the sin from the sinner. You see, that's a hard thing to do. We look at those committing this lifestyle and we want to condemn them. You realize they're just caught by the devil, by the demons of hell that's got hold of them, and they don't want to, and we sometimes hate the person, or at least express hatred toward the person, when we need to hate the sin and love the sinner. And that's a hard thing to do. I understand that, but that's what we need to do. Because the Lord's the only one who can cast out the demons. And that will cause the homosexual to walk different and to talk different and to act different. And yet, that may not be salvation. I've heard of some who saw the demons leave, their lifestyle changed, their little prissy walk, and their little feminine voice left them, and yet they wasn't saved, and later on they went back and came into a place to where that demon came back inside them and they were caught again. What you need to do, you need to stay under the truth, even if you walk different and talk different and act different. No, when you turn from the broad way to the narrow way, that's not salvation. You need to enter the straight gate. Allow Him to finish that work. And you need to be under the auspices of a New Testament church that preaches this and practices the truth, where you'll be protected from demonic possession again. The Bible warns us about that in the book of Matthew, chapter number 12, verse number 43 through 45, when he said, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I'll return into my house from which I came out. And when he's come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. And then goeth he, and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first." In other words, a person can be delivered of demonic activity by getting under the presence of the power of God in the local New Testament church. But you need to stay there until God does the work and He takes up His abode in His house. Or else, you go out and leave that auspices of that New Testament church, you're headed for danger. You're headed for possession again, back into the old haunts of homosexuality, which is wrong. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host I've asked the pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.